All right, today we are beginning a study through the last book of the Bible, which is called the book of Revelation. And as I've been preparing for and anticipating this study over the past few months, just thinking through it, reading some different things, reading people much smarter than me, talking with some of you, it's given me a lot to think about and a whole lot to think about. And recently, it specifically made me think about Jumanji, actually. I'm talking about the first one made in the 90s. The other two, they're funny. They're great too. But if you don't know what Jumanji is, Jumanji was this movie made back in the 90s. Like, kids, we're talking like 1900s is when this movie was made. In the movie, these two kids discover this old board game in the attic of their aunt's house. They open it up, seems like just a normal board game. It's stacked under other board games. And then as they open it up, they read it, these instructions inside of it. And what it says on the inside of the game, it says, a game for those who seek to find a way to leave their world behind. And they start playing the game. And once they start playing the game, they realize it's anything but a normal game. There's actually nothing normal about the game except it has spaces and dice. And that's pretty much where it ends. Because immediately as they start playing the game, strange and dangerous things start happening. Crazy things start happening. Giant mosquitoes invade their house. Monkeys take over their kitchen. Robin Williams comes out of the game, which is incredible. And understandably, they become afraid to play this game. They don't want to keep playing the game. They want to stop because it's mysterious, it's unpredictable, it's chaotic. It's intimidating, but what they don't realize as you watch the movie go forward is that the game is actually telling them what is happening. And it's not unpredictable, but the game is telling them what's going to happen. It's not random. It's not mysterious. The problem is they don't know how to read the game. And whatever your level of familiarity with the book of Revelation is, many of us have a similar experience with this book. It seems mysterious, it seems chaotic, it can seem intimidating. We're afraid to even open it. And if we do open it, we just kind of stay in the parts that we can understand and are concerned to even go to the other parts. I feel that. But as we begin this journey through the book of Revelation over the next few months, we're gonna learn this book is not meant to create fear. God did not give us this book to create confusion. He gave us this book to actually create faith and courage in us as his people. So if you have your Bible, I'd love for you to turn with me to the book of Revelation. If you're not there already, Revelation chapter 1, like I said earlier, the very last book in the Bible. You can grab one of those blue Bibles in front of you and turn to page 1028, the very, very last book. And just as some of you are turning there, just want to highlight a couple things that we have for you to help you give us all resources as we're going through this book. Some of you grabbed these already, but there's some scripture journals out in the lobby that are on in this right corner as you walk out there. There's still some out there on the table. You can grab one. And they are very simply the text of Revelation on one side and the note page on the other side. And would just give you space to write notes, questions, things that you're learning as we go through this together. And then with that out there is also a Revelation reading plan. We don't only have to read this book here on Sunday mornings. If you need a place to read and just be in the Bible on your own, we've kind of outlined how we're going to work through this book and then just given you a few questions to think about as you read it on your own too. So grab one of those on your way out and let's learn from this book together during the week. But Revelation chapter 1 that Miss Jean just read for us, and we're just looking at the first three verses to lay the foundation that's going to shape how we understand the rest of the book. It's not just important for these first three verses and then we're going to move on. We're actually learning some truths today that we're going to carry with us through every chapter of Revelation. We're going to walk through three statements today that together, I hope, answer the question, what's the purpose of this book? Why did God give it to us? How are we supposed to understand it? Those are the things we're trying to start with today. And the first statement is this, that Revelation was written to reveal, not conceal. Revelation was written to reveal, not conceal. And I'll show you what I mean. Look closely with me. In the very beginning, first phrase, chapter 1, verse 1, here's what it says. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants the things that must soon take place. You can immediately see where the title of the book came from. First sentence says, the revelation of Jesus Christ. What should we call the book? Let's call it Revelation. Sounds great. Awesome. But the Greek word behind revelation is where we get the word apocalypse. And that word may, depending on your background, flood your mind with all kinds of images, expectations, depending on your background. But let's allow the word to define itself rather than our experience to define the word. The word apocalypse or revelation very simply means just the uncovering of something that used to be hidden. The revealing of something that used to be secret. And that's what's happening in this book. This tells us what kind of book Revelation is, but also what effect it is meant to have on us. And we'll talk more about the kind of book next week. But for now, the effect is this. Revelation is meant to reveal something to us. It's meant to show something to us. And I know you're thinking, you've been preparing for this for months and you've read books and the big thing that you came to is a book called Revelation is meant to reveal something. Your life is very sad. And if that's how you feel, I understand. But that's the point. You can understand this book. The Lord wants you to understand this book. It was never meant to be mysterious or confusing. I even felt as we talked a number of months ago about doing this book as a pastoral team, there was even my own hesitation to, should we preach on that book? Should we not preach on that? Not because of the book itself, but because of all these expectations and questions that we can bring to a book like this that I don't automatically have the answers to. But the more I sat in these opening verses, the more I realized Revelation is not meant to intimidate us. It is actually meant to steady us. It's meant to anchor us. Now, I'm not claiming that I can explain or understand every detail in this book. You will likely have questions that I don't have, not likely, you will have questions that I don't have answers to. And some of you know more about this book than I do, and that's great. But I am claiming that the Lord gave us revelation for clarity, not confusion. Kids, you can think this book is supposed to be more like show and tell, not like hide and seek. You can think about it that way. God is showing us to tell us something. He's not trying to hide things, and then we have to figure out the secret code to find it. That is not who our God is. But not, it's not just important to understand that this book is meant to reveal. It's also very important to understand who or what this book is meant to reveal. Because there's all kinds of opinions out there of what it could reveal, but it's very clear from the beginning, the main point of this book. Look at the sentence again. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, it can mean it comes from him, which it does, but it could also mean it's about him, which it is. The main point of this book is to show us Jesus. There's a lot of truth to take in over 22 chapters in this book, but it is all first and foremost about him. This book is not about a specific world leader from the past or present or future. The focus of this book is Jesus Christ, who he is, what he has done, and what he will do and how it should strengthen us as his people to live with faith and courage until the day he comes back. That's revelation. And let me just say this. If you've never trusted Christ and you are just learning, thinking, asking questions, you got doubts, you have pushback, there's things you're not sure about, let me just tell you this, that this book is not meant to scare you. There are some things that this book confronts us with, but it confronts us in order to invite us and welcome us to Christ. That's the goal of this book in your life too. And it's gonna be our goal each week. Every week that we come and study this book, we're gonna be asking the question, where do we see Jesus here? What do we learn about Jesus here? The Jesus that Revelation shows us is the one who lived and died and conquered death for sinners. And everything in Revelation flows from the saving work he's done for me and for you. And this matters, church, because if we study this book and we are left just admiring our own logic or speculating about the future, we've missed the point. I want you to hear me say that. If we study this book and we are left thinking more about ourselves than we are about Jesus, we've missed the point. You can know your understanding Revelation if you're starting to have your jaw drop when you think about who he is and what he's done and what he's gonna do. Nothing's being concealed. He is being revealed here. He's the one being revealed. But it's not just written to reveal Jesus in some generic way. It was written to reveal Jesus to real people, specific people. And that's the next thing I want us to see from this opening paragraph here, is Revelation was written to them then and for us now. Might sound like a weird sentence, but just go with me here. Revelation was written to them then and for us now. It's true of every book in the Bible, but it's especially important to remember when we study a book like Revelation. I'll show you what I mean. Back in verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants the things that must soon take place. So we just saw this. Jesus is the one who's revealed and the one who is revealing. But notice who he's showing it to, which God gave him to show to his servants. God gave revelation to his servants. Well, who are they? Who are we talking about here? His servants are his people. His servants are men and women who have a relationship with Jesus by faith and are following him. And this is significant because it means Revelation was not just written for scholars, for quote unquote experts. We need those people to help us understand books like this, but it was written first and foremost for ordinary followers of Jesus. And who was this book sent to originally? Well, we'll cover this next week, but just look down in verse 4, the very next sentence. John to the seven churches that are in Asia. So it was written to different communities of Christians that were spread around what we know today as Turkey. And these were normal people who had been brought into relationship with Jesus by God's grace. They were men and women, young and old. They had responsibilities and they had relationships. They had joys and they had stresses. And they were trying to figure out what it looked like to faithfully follow Jesus in a world that made it really hard to do so. And that's the exact description you could hold for today and 20 years ago and 100 years before that and 1,000 years before that. I'm pointing this out to keep us from reading Revelation in a way that makes us think that modern readers like us can interpret Revelation better than the original readers. That's not true. Revelation cannot mean something for us. It did not mean for them. They were Christians who knew the gospel and knew Christ. God did not give this book only to confuse them then so that Christians 2,000 years later could understand it and make it all connect. It was written to them and for us. So we want to learn what it meant to them as we go through this book so we can apply it to our own lives now. We have a lot to learn together. But also a point here about how Revelation was written. Notice there in verse 1 again, it says, God gave him to show, think about that word show for a second, to show to his servants the things that must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. So those two words, show and saw, are very important words for the rest of the book. Most of the Bible is a call to hear the word of God. And Revelation has that, but it is even more a call to see the word of God, to see the truth of who he is and what he's doing. Because one of John's most repeated phrases throughout this book, you'll see it over and over and over, is he says, and I saw, and I saw, and I saw. This book is about seeing what God is trying to show to us. And John is not writing to reproduce his experience of what he saw in us. He is writing to communicate to us the meaning of what he saw so that it changes how we live our lives. A simpler way to say it would be this: Revelation is not a puzzle book. It's a picture book. It's a book full of pictures. And all the pictures are about the same subject. It would be like if we asked someone to make a picture book of our church and they came here on a Sunday morning and some people... This person, the photographer, took pictures of our front entrance outside in the building, and then they walked around and took pictures of a group playing on the playground, and then they walked over and took a picture of a group talking and through a Bible study, and then they came in here and took a picture of this service. All those are pictures of our church, but they're all just different angles and different perspectives. Revelation contains all kinds of images and symbols, but none of them by themselves are the main point. They are all there and designed to show us the greatness of Jesus and to show us the glory of what God is doing and to show us the guarantee of his promises. Because it was hard to follow Jesus when this book was first written, and it's still hard to follow Jesus. And it's gonna be hard to follow Jesus until he comes back. And so all of us need the same thing, to see Jesus more clearly. And that's what this book is gonna help us do. This is why the last thing I want us to see drives home the primary difference I think Revelation is meant to make in our lives. And it's more of a category than a point, but we'll flesh it out as we keep going. And the last thing is this. Revelation was written to change how we live, not just what we know. Revelation was written to change how we live, not just what we know. And I'm getting that from the final verse of this first paragraph here, verse 3, where John writes this: "Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near." This is the first of 7 blessing statements throughout the book. And it's kind of a heading over the whole book in a lot of ways, because he says, blessed is the one. The word blessed is talking about God's gracious favor, his true and lasting happiness that's only found in him. And he says that blessing, that happiness is found for those who read and hear and keep what is written in this book. Notice that God's blessing is not just on those who own a copy of Revelation. It's not just on those who read it or have it read to them. And it's definitely not on those who only specialize in debating what it says. God's blessing on those is on those, he says, who keep what is written in it. You may have also noticed here in verse 3, Revelation referred to as a prophecy. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy. We often think of prophecy as predicting the future or foretelling the future, and that's part of it. But even in the Old Testament, all the way through the Bible, prophecy is even more about proclaiming God's truth into the present moment. And that's what's happening in the book of Revelation. This sheds light on what it means to keep the words of the book. If we're gonna understand God's blessing, and that comes to those who keep it, we have to understand what this book is trying to do in us. To keep means to obey. It means to live out something. And so it means for this book that we so treasure the words of this book that we apply them to our lives in a way that causes us to long for the return of Jesus. And there's an urgency to this. There's a weight to this. Because he says twice in just these 3 verses, he says at the end of that, in the middle of verse 1, the things that must soon take place. And then the end of verse 3, he says, the time is near. So twice in just 3 verses, we see this reality that his return is not far away. And you're thinking, well, this book was written 2,000 years ago. He must have had a different definition of soon and near than I do, because that was a long time. Well, but 2,000 years in comparison to the eternity God is promising us here is nothing. It's so small. So how is it soon? How is it near? Well, the Lord is giving us, and he's going to give us more as we go through this book, this view of eternity in this book. And every day we live is one day closer to the day that we're gonna stand before him in heaven. And Revelation is a book that God has given us to graciously prepare us for that day, to graciously make us ready for that day, and to clearly make that day more real to us than any day we live right now. Revelation is not as much about predicting as it is about preparing. He promises us that Jesus is coming soon, and he has given Revelation to shape our thinking, to form our character, to change how we live until that day. It's not a prophecy chart about the future. It is a call to be a faithful disciple of Jesus with eternal hope. It's not written to make us curious spectators about the end of the world. It's written to make us faithful followers of Jesus until that day comes. It's written to comfort us in our suffering. It's written to encourage us in our obedience. It's written to keep our focus on what's ultimate and on what lasts. It's written to strengthen us to endure until the final day. And this is the focus of the book from the beginning all the way to the very end. Let me show you how this book ends in connection with how it starts. Turn with me all the way to the very last chapter, Revelation chapter 22. I want to show you one small thing here. Revelation chapter 22, we just read in chapter 1, verse 3, blessed are those who hear and keep what is written in it, for the time is near. Now look with me at chapter 22, verse 7. These are the words of Jesus. He says, and behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. There's a bookend here. There's a same start, same end, that you and I are surrounded every day with opinions about what matters most, every day with the things that we need to be about. But we are given a reality check in this book. And we'll be given this reality check every week that Jesus is coming soon. So what matters most is keeping his word. What matters most is looking to him. What matters most is following him. So lift your eyes from the newsfeed to the throne of Christ. Revelation is going to say, because the Savior who's coming in the future is already reigning right now. So we want to keep what is written here. We want to walk it out. Revelation is going to shape how we face suffering. It's going to shape how we resist temptation. It's going to shape how we handle fear about the future. It's going to shape how we stay faithful when we're being lured to compromise our faith in Christ. A lot the Lord has given us in here. And it is all meant to reveal, not conceal. It is all written to Christians back then, before us now. And it's written to change how we live, not just what we know. This book is not a chaotic, dangerous game. It's not chaotic. The order of God is in it. It's not dangerous. It's meant to invite us to Christ. And it's not a game. It's real. It's the truth of God. It's not a book about charts or timelines. It's a book about a person. It's about Jesus, that the risen and reigning Savior who stepped into our broken world, who lived in perfect obedience, and who died in place for our sin and rose again to secure new life for us now and an unshakable future for eternity. That Jesus, he is speaking, he is ruling, he is coming again. So maybe as we journey through Revelation, don't look at it as a puzzle to solve. Don't look at it as a problem. See it as an invitation to see Jesus more clearly, to trust him more deeply, to follow him more faithfully. And let's ask him week after week after week to open our eyes, to shape our lives, to make us people who are ready, but not just ready, eager, longing for the day that we're finally going to see him face to face. Let's pray together.